Hey everybody, Rob here, back in the studio, getting you ready for our week four feedback show here in the studio with Nick Majorano. Before we get into that, I just want to take a moment and thank today's sponsor, our friends over at True Car, who say when you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times that's not the case. People configure their car online only to later find out that the car is not available. With True Car, you get real pricing on actual inventory, not just pricing offered by True Car, pricing from an actual dealer, and not just any dealer, a True Car certified dealer, a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Using True Car, you'll easily find the car that you want. True Car is going to show you what other people in your area paid for the same car that you're looking for, and you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident, just like Nick Majorano. Over 3 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car certified dealer network, and there's over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Best of all, True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's ready to leave his own sad birthday party. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our feedback show here for episode number four of Survivor: Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And we actually have a great guest. I misspoke. It's not a sad birthday party because this person is here, but he won't eat any of the cake. Please welcome in the star of the hit pilot podcast, The Mayo Jar, Nick Majorano. Nick, how are you?
Wow, it's just a pilot, huh?
It's a pilot. It's being, you know, it's being tested.
Okay, we'll see what the feedback is for this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone to pilot, yeah. And then you have to wait to see what the response is to see if it gets picked up.
What about the first two? Yeah. I waited a year for this, I feel like. We didn't do this in Game Changers, did we not? I have a bone
we
to
did
pick,
not.
Actually.
No.
Why was I not brought back? You had to let it simmer a little bit?
Yeah, it was a simmering.
I've got an issue with it. Did Wiggler tell you not to do it?
No comment. Uh-huh. No comment. Anyway, so Nick Majorano is here in the studio. I'm very excited about that. And we've been having so much fun. Can I say that?
It's debatable. I've been here like an hour and we still haven't podcasted. We just started by. He was like eating a salad.
Yes.
He was making coffee.
Yes.
He was showing me his deck, which is very nice. A lot of foreplay before getting to this
podcast. That's right. Now Nick is all warmed up and ready to go. And so here we are. And I just got back from Reno last night.
Listened to all those podcasts, loved them.
Yes.
You're not a gambler though, right?
No, I played a little bit of blackjack and I ended up just losing my shirt in terms of, but here's what happens to me. I took a lot of abuse at the blackjack table and I got beaten down. I only ended up losing about $80. So I sort of like, but here's a lesser man would have said, you know what? All right, now let me go get more money and gamble more. I got to dig out of this hole where I am.
You know your limits.
One of the best things about me, I know when to cut my losses.
Okay.
I know when it's not happening and I know when to. I'm not going to tin cup my way into like, all right, well, let me go to the ATM.
Well, you only play blackjack?
I play blackjack. I play craps.
Okay.
I didn't play any poker just because the thing about these poker tournaments is that if you were going to like do well in them, like my friend Tyson Apostle did very well. Actually, for those of you guys listening to Tyson on the Recap podcast, we were on the dinner break of the poker tournament. He ended up placing second in that tournament that he was in. So he had a lot on his mind that day.
Oh, boy. And now what will be your biggest bet in craps or blackjack? Is it $5, $10?
You know what? Maybe if I got really crazy, I might go up to like $15.
Ooh,
expensive. Here's that nobody wants to hear about this, but my gambling strategy is I will like start to like as I win, anything I win over what I started with, I put in my pocket.
Huh.
So then I get to a point where once I have the money I started with in my pocket, then you can get loosey goosey.
You're responsible.
I'm very responsible. Again, that the losing for me feels worse than the winning ends up feeling.
Like
if I lost $100, I would beat myself up more than if I like, hey, I made $100.
Okay, so it's not worth it to you to go gambling.
It's, no, yeah, it's not. Right, okay. Right. I'm much more about the grind, Nick, of like day in, day out.
We know that with these podcasts.
That's right. And so I heard a story when I was in Reno. Tyson had said to me, I told him that you were coming onto the podcast. Uh-huh. He said that he was integral in you being a survivor.
Oh, my God. That's how he pitched it?
Yes.
What did he say?
He
exactly?
said, did you know?
Use that word.
Did you know I was single-handedly responsible for Nick being on Survivor?
Well, here's the thing. I met Tyson at the Game Changers finale briefly. Great. You know, he's a sweet guy, nice guy. And before I went through, oh no, when I was going through casting, mm-hmm. when he was in Hawaii doing his like, wee, I just won $1 million, he and Rachel, mm-hmm. when, you know, they've been to Hawaii a bunch of times, but my dad and my mom were also in Hawaii. And so my dad and my mom spotted Tyson, and my dad went up to Tyson. He was like, hey, like my son's applying. And Tyson was like really nice to him and really friendly. Like, yeah, just tell him to keep applying. That's all Tyson did. Mm-hmm. He didn't help. He didn't do anything.
And he said that was what put you over the edge.
No.
You were discouraged. You were going to not play.
Hold on.
Yes.
My parents were discouraged probably because it was taking me like 3 years to get on the show after first applying. So
yes.
It wasn't me.
And then he said that he was asked, like, did he remember bumping into your dad in Hawaii? And he said, yeah, like I remember every single person that came up to me and recognized me in Hawaii right after I just won on Survivor.
That sounds like Tyson. Yeah. He was actually a jerk now that I think about it.
No, he's the best. He's the best. And so that was, had a lot of fun hanging out with, Tyson and Steven and Adam, all at the event in Reno. And thanks again to Jason Somerville for having us out there. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about Survivor.
Deep. Oh,
let's get into everything with the heroes and healers and the hustlers.
And the hustlers. Don't forget.
Don't forget about them either. So, first off, Nick, how's life been?
Life's been great. I'm in Redondo Beach, not Orange County, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just watching the episode.
Did I say you were in Orange County?
Yeah. I mean, you've said it a few times. I think you're just rubbing it in because I'm always complaining.
When did I say you were in Orange County?
Up all the way up this way. I think the Match Game. I'm just joking.
Okay.
But anyway, so I went to go see the episode in
Is that
Manhattan
a big rivalry
Beach.
Between Redondo Beach and Orange County?
No. I just think you're poking fun at me because I always complain about having to drive all mm-hmm. the way up this way.
Yeah.
Like it took me an hour to get up here to be in studio. Mm-hmm. I deserve some cookies or a pat on the back.
Would you eat cookies?
I would eat cookies to trade it for not voting, right?
Okay.
Me
yes.
and Angie? Angie
yes.
and I?
Wow, that's a very old callback.
Hey, I was in casting with Angie and those people. Angie
yeah.
and Dawson?
Yes, for Survivor Philippines.
For Survivor Philippines, didn't make it.
Yeah. Who did they take instead of you?
They didn't take any of us because they had Pete already.
Pete.
Yeah, Pete Bro.
Yeah.
We already went through casting in the fall. We went through it in spring. Mm-hmm. They were like, nah, we're good. We got Pete.
We got Pete Bro in our back pocket.
We got the New Jersey boy, Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
So I watched the episode in Manhattan Beach the other day with mm-hmm. Allie and Rourke, who are on this season.
Yes. How was that?
That was very nice. Her aunt put it together. It was food and drinks, and it was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to watch with the current survivors. I like that.
Yes. Okay. And so, did that bring you back? Was that back to like the your glory days in Koh Rong of like being around the new cast?
No, it doesn't really bring me back. But I mean, it's good to support the new cast. I would say. Plus, it was only like 5 minutes up the road, so that was easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But everybody was nice. I met Allie's parents. It's all sweet, charming them. Charming everybody. You know, everybody wants to come talk to me. You know, I'm just super
right,
friendly.
Right. It's overwhelming for you when you go to these things, all the people that want to like pick your brain and talk
like,
to you.
Oh.
When are you going back?
Right. They're desperate to know. Yes, exactly. But no, it was fun to do.
All right. So are you enjoying this season, Nick?
I am. I've seen a few sour reviews on this season.
Like, even after this week?
No, maybe not after this week, but initially. But no, I like it. It's a little bit slower. There's not many big events,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's great storytelling and that's what I'm here for. And I like laughing and like this past episode is great. Like I laugh at everything Lauren says or Jess and Cole get into. Like that stuff's funny. Devin's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he means it, but it's still funny.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this season.
Okay. So we have three tribes. Yeah. And we've gone into a tribe swap, something that you experienced during Korong. Of course, you guys went into tribes of two tribes of what? It was six?
Six and six and two, one.
And then, yeah, and then we had Exile Island in play there. Here we went into three tribes of five. Did you like that better than what they did in Korong?
Yeah, I like three tribes of five. And I think it's actually kind of... maybe it's a lot different, actually, depending on how you play it. Because if you have two, because like with the six person tribe, if you have two solid, like we had two beauty, two brawn, and two brain. Mm-hmm. I realized when I was watching this past episode, I was like, oh, you should probably, if you don't get along with the person, like if you're Desi and Joe, mm-hmm. like you should probably just get rid of your tribe member. Because mm-hmm. then you'll just be the swing vote for the next vote if yeah. there's six people on that tribe. So you're safe for two votes. But this five-person tribe thing is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I do think it's actually pretty interesting because too, we've never had this before where we start at three and then we go into groups of three. And I really do feel like it blows up the original tribes more so than like you guys had in Korong, where I feel like, and tell me what you think about this, but when you go from three tribes into two tribes, I feel like that the original tribes stick better because you have the greater potential of there being like three or four people from an original group still there in the group of two, still trying to stick to, okay, well, we're still the brains, you know, we're still the beauty group, and let's get back together at the merge. Whereas I feel like that in this group, you have people that are spread out across three different tribes of like the healers may want to all stick together, but the chances of that happening might be slim.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. But it's also because there's two extra people, right? Because in Korong, we did it with 13.
Sure.
And they're doing it with 15. So, no, yeah, it just worked out perfect for producers. Do you think they'll do this going forward? Continue.
I mean, I think it'll depend on what the end result ends up being. Because the reason why, going back to your original potential season of in Survivor Philippines, which really kicked mm-hmm. off this movement of there being three tribes. And yes, we had three tribes in the All-Stars. And they did, you know, four tribes a couple times in the teens. But I feel like that where... after we had in Redemption Island and One World and South Pacific, where we had just sort of like a group of five, like really getting started and sticking together all the way to the end, then the three tribe format ended up sort of breaking that up a bit more at the merge. But I think that this idea of three tribes and then go and then another mix up of three tribes really is shaking up the snow globe.
Well, now, do you think they'll go from these three tribes to the merge?
I think that they probably will. I think that we will probably end up staying in these groups of three until we get to the merge. I mean, the last couple seasons, they've merged at 13. So yeah. I think that we are now how many people are out of the game? Four people are out of the game. So we're down to 14.
Yeah.
So we may do, I guess, one more week of this and then potentially get into the merge.
We merged at 11, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
Because we had eight on the jury. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but that would be a long time though, from 14 to 11, right?
Well, yeah, and that does seem early to in terms of the episode count to have there be a merge in episode number six. I think that might be the earliest they've ever done it. Yeah. You know, typically Survivor merges in the seventh episode or later.
Do you like big merges, like the 13 versus the 11, or?
It's hard to say. I think that in terms of like the gameplay, we end up with not traditionally great, exciting gameplay with the bigger merge. It's sort of like we had the merge at 13 last season and it ended up being sort of like, you know, you end up with like this like 9-person massive alliance of everybody's working with everybody just trying to feel things out.
Right.
Whereas
initially.
Right. Where, you know, the first vote after the merge last season was like, oh, should we vote out Michaela or Haley? Right. You know, which person at the bottom should we just pick off? And that was the same sort of thing.
Easiest, yeah.
Right. In Cambodia. And so I do think that a smaller merge might be more interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I think
I'm in favor of it.
Okay. Like 11 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just like the three tribe seasons and the three tribes going forward just because it seems to be better storytelling.
Yeah.
Two huge groups of 10 or two huge groups of 9 or 8, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like it for.
Okay. So, Nick, did you have any thoughts about this week's episode in particular in terms of the disadvantage that ended up going to Devin, and then ultimately the idol play by Joe, and how that all played out.
Well, here's what I'm wondering, like, overall, are the producers pushing it too far? Are they walking a fine line here with introducing so many advantages? I know you guys talked about how, like, you guys like how it's timed now, like, they have to use it as a tribal council, the next tribal council, but are you kind of making players be more cautious? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many advantages now. Because, like, if Alan never speaks up and, like, never gets into a fight, granted, that might be his nature to get to speak up, and Joe as well. But, like, are you just making players want to be more cautious and be more quiet? Because these advantages can fall against you randomly, it almost seems.
Yeah. So you're saying that Alan speaking out about the idol in the first episode is what ultimately did him in?
No. Alan speaking up in this episode and getting into a fight with, or an argument with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't do that, then obviously he doesn't become the target, most likely, right? Mm-hmm. Ashley does, or somebody else does. And what I'm saying is, though, like, These advantages would make me more cautious, because it's like, I don't know what's out there. I have no idea. There's so many things that are out there. What's the point of even playing, taking calculated risks,
mm-hmm.
if it's going to come back to bite me, which almost seems like luck or unluckiness? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's so many things that you can't account for now at this point.
Right.
What's the point of trying to make a smart move when you don't have all the information possible?
Right. We've actually explored this a little bit more in terms of Big Brother, where Big Brother has added so many weekly twists to the game that is there any benefit in sort of like trying to think that far ahead based on you don't know from week to week what sort of superpowers or advantages? And it's sort of the kind of thing where if you don't know what the rules of the game are, how much can you, and you know, there's the one thinking of, okay, well, the best player will, you know, will adapt in advance. But you're also introducing a lot of variance into the game, where I think what's making it unpredictable is that anybody could go home at any given tribal council because of all of the randomness that you're injecting into it. While so that does make it exciting, it also makes it where you could have, you know, anything happen and a really good player could go home based on very little to do with what they're actually have done in the game so far.
Right, like with the Malcolm thing, Game Changers, right?
Right.
So yeah, I wonder if they're walking a fine line, because I personally probably don't like it as much coming from a player standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, maybe as an audience, and I get that's why they're doing it too. But do you like it if they keep adding more and more advantages?
I mean, well, I guess the question is, and we're raising this all in a vacuum, I mean, who is making a move that they shouldn't have made due to all, like, what are you seeing players do or not do based on advantages being added into the game?
I just don't think you should take as many risks if you're a player, especially early on.
But here's a guy in Joe who took a lot of risks and was ultimately rewarded this week.
Temporarily. I mean, like, yeah, I just don't think it's worth it to stick your neck out early on, or like stick next to an alliance member early on. There's just no point, because you could get caught with an advantage or a disadvantage in your pocket. All of a sudden you're like, what the heck? I didn't even do anything to anybody else, and I have this all of a sudden in my pocket. That's what I'm concerned about. If the smarter players who wind up playing on these new seasons, 37 and 38, just decide, no, okay, we won't play for the beginning. We'll just chill and sit back.
But then you do run the risk of, you know, you ending up getting picked off also.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you're not trying to make moves and you're just being like a nice person, you're just like sitting on your hands type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see that easily happening with the smarter players, because there's no point in playing an idol for somebody or getting on somebody's bad terms.
But I feel like those are two different animals there, to play an idol for somebody. Like, David has said that, you know, playing an idol for Jessica in the early part of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X was the best move he made in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it benefited him later on. I know.
So I don't know if there's necessarily a solve for all of these different things that are coming into the game. And I actually do like that they are injecting a element into the game that is sort of like explosive, but very short term, in terms of not having, you know, all these idols and advantages that end up being sort of like all piling up at the end of the game. Let me play a question for you that's actually on that subject from one of our listeners. This is the great Podrick Racer.
Hey, Rob and Nick. Podrick Racer here. Do you guys think that Survivor producers have gone too far in response to Advantage Geddon last season? Only one of the original tribe hidden immunity idols was found, and now they're using all these short-time advantages. Do you think this is the right way to go? Thanks.
So do you think, just to put a point on this, that they did this in this way, set up this season where, okay, here's an advantage for this round, but then it expires after this, to prevent there being another scenario where all of the advantages pile up until the end when it's only like five or six people left and it's the last time or the time before the last time that you can use it?
I do agree with this, yes, because it forces people to take risks. As far as the people who hold the advantages, yes.
Yeah. And I think it's an advantage being played at any given tribal council is exciting. But I think from, again, I know some people might have really loved that moment, but four advantages being played at a tribal council, it ended up being not that exciting because we ended up losing a person who just their only fault was, well, I don't have an advantage, so I guess I go home now.
Right. And yeah, and that's my point. It comes down to just unluckiness of her not having an advantage in Suri. And granted, the other people worked hard to get those other advantages, but still.
I mean, maybe not that hard.
I know. Trying to give somebody credit.
But no, I like this season. For me, it's been something that's, injecting an element into, you know, the thing about Survivor is that the game to continue to survive needs to evolve a little bit every time out. Like the trick is that it needs to be fresh to the audience and to the players, but not change too much so that it's unrecognizable and people say, well, I don't even know what this is anymore.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. I think the producers have to keep swinging and taking risks themselves. I really believe in that. And if they're wrong, they're wrong. And you readjust the next season.
All right, Nick, let me play another question for you. Let me ask you a little bit about Devin and whether or not what happened to him was truly a disadvantage. This is from Hillary.
Hi, Rob and Nick. Do you think Devin's disadvantage could actually turn out to be somewhat of an advantage in that he didn't have to show his cards at the last tribal council, and thus he didn't have to show either group which side he was going to vote against? Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Let's talk this through because, oh, poor Devin. Look what happened to him. He didn't even get to vote. But here he is sitting in the middle and he got to be the swing vote that everybody was fighting over. Who's he going to work with? And yes, while he probably didn't make his bed with a group, he didn't vote against Desi. He didn't vote against Joe. Could you spin it that this was the best case scenario for Devin?
I think that's a great question. I think the answer is yes. Without a doubt, I think he did luck out in the end, whether he knows it or not yet. I think he will find out because it's just like, yeah, I don't have any enemies right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he can still change his mind. You know, he could still change his mind if he had voted for Joe or whoever. But yeah, I think he's in a good spot right now. Even though it's going to be 2-2 now, most likely. It doesn't seem like Ashley's going to flip over or anything.
Mm-hmm. And you've been very high on Devin. You think that he seems like that he is going to be a real breakout character this season and potential returning player.
Oh, well, I don't know if I said that. I just don't know if he's in on the joke. Is he in on the joke? Like when he did that whole like, oh, this is not an advantage. This is a disadvantage. Whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's in on that? Like the deadpan humor.
I don't know.
Or you think that was just like a genuine response? Like, oh no.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
This is not an advantage.
Or you think he's being funny? Because if he's in on the joke, I'm all for him.
Then he's all for it. I don't know. He seems like a funny guy, right?
Yeah. Like he
seems pretty hilarious.
Although he hadn't said anything in like the first two tribals. They had cut out all of his questions or answers in the first two. I was like, oh, well, maybe he's not giving them the material.
Well, how do you know they cut out his answers?
Because I don't think he said anything in the first two tribals that he went to.
Maybe he was just being stoic.
Stop backing up Devin. No, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I just want to know if he's in on the joke. So
does he hang out in Redondo Beach?
No, he's like in Florida with Jay or something like that.
Oh, he's in Florida?
Yeah, I think they're cleaning up the beaches.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Maybe he's not in Florida. I don't know. Because wait, where's Ashley live? Florida, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's with Jay. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's with Wu in Huntington Beach or something.
He's in Huntington Beach. Yeah. Is that a rivalry, Huntington Beach and
no,
Redondo
there's
Beach?
No rivalry. Why would there be a rivalry? Yeah.
Where did you used to Manny?
Oh, I used to Manny in San Diego.
In San Diego, okay.
Yeah, so there's your... Oh, wait, maybe he's from San Diego.
Is that what it is?
Let's just go to every beach town. That's where Devin's from.
To every beach town?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I had Manny in San Diego.
What was that like?
Oh, that was fun. Well, it wasn't bad, actually. It was for 2 years, I think I did it, part-time, because I was personal training, too, at the same time.
Could you personal train and Manny at the same time?
No. I did not personal train those kids. They had four kids.
Well, not the kids, the parents.
Oh, no, not the parents. No. Yeah, so that was four kids. It was great.
See, I think you...
Four nannies,
they
too.
Wait. You were a Manny for four different families?
No. So, one family with four kids.
Yes.
And there were four nannies.
Oh, so you were part of like a harem of Mannies?
Yeah. Isn't there like a nanny show in LA here or Beverly Hills here?
I used to be. Wait, so, I want to understand. So, there was one family that they needed you plus three other guys to watch the kids?
So, it's the setup was me, another guy, another girl, and another girl. So, two guys, two girls. And this is not getting...
Yeah.
All right. But
it's
anyway.
Like a family of people.
Yeah. And so, like, two nannies would work on the same shift.
Okay.
Because there's four kids. So, you need, one per two kids for the most part.
Okay. And you guys all got along?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, one of the guy couple and girl, they were a couple. They were married.
Okay.
So the guy and the girl were married, and then like me and this other girl was single, and like other girls would come in and other guys would come in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you end up getting that gig?
I think I just saw that on Craigslist.
Yeah. Manny wanted.
Yeah, Manny wanted. It was a great situation. They were a great family. That was in La Jolla. Like they had a beautiful mansion, very wealthy family.
And you don't do that anymore?
I do not.
You're open to it?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm too old for Mannying.
Why? What's the cutoff?
What is the cutoff? Although I think they might still be Mannying the couple. Probably 27, 28, yeah. Whenever I left.
Is there too old if you're a hustler like you, Nick?
No, never too old to be a hustler. Everyone should hustle. Like you, Rob, you're a hustler.
Yes.
39 years old.
Happy That's belated. Right. That's right. Thank you very much. Right. But I'm a hustler, but I only have one thing. Like you're a true hustler in that, that you're multi-talented.
Oh, yeah. I can really rear children. Ooh. Yeah, but they're not even my own. I don't have to take them home. So that's nice.
That's right. It doesn't stop you from hustling.
No, that doesn't. No changing diapers, though. I wouldn't do that.
No. Okay.
No. I can't do that.
If anybody's listening and they want to hire you for Manny,
there's no Manny service for hire.
Okay,
none.
Just training.
Just to tell you to lift those weights over there and lose that weight.
What if somebody wanted you to come in and train and then hey, I got to run out. Can you just watch this the 6-year-old for a little bit?
Well, I could easily do that, but we better keep the rate nice and high.
Okay. All right, so it's negotiable.
No, it's not negotiable. Stop trying to make this happen.
Well, you just said.
Are you looking for Manny?
No, you're out of my price range. You're out of my price range.
And I'm too good. Yeah. They would have too much fun. They would like me more than they like you. No.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you don't like that one.
All right. So, I don't know. We'll see. You have to watch a lot of cartoons, Nick. I don't think you have the attention span on that. All right. Here's a question from one of your biggest supporters, former colleague of yours, Sarah Channon, writes in an email for the feedback show. And she says, Devin has the most immaculate facial hair on Survivor since Reynold Topher. As somebody who knows something about beards and hair removal, can Nick explain his secret? Did Devin wax the sides of his face before going out there, or is it a trick of some amazing lighting? P.S. I agree with Rob. Ben and Lauren are a thing. So Stephen Fishback was really, he was all over me about this, saying that I thought that Ben and Lauren were working together. I don't know why he thought that was such a crazy conspiracy theory that Ben and Lauren might be working together the other night.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he was really piling on me about that. I don't know. It's like, I don't know why this is bothering you so much that I said this.
Did he lose any money?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he had time to gamble. He was working. He was actually doing a lot of work as well there when we were in Reno. But that being said, have you noticed Devin's amazing facial hair?
I have.
Why does Sarah seem to think that you know a lot about hair removal?
Yeah. Oh, because I shaved my body before going out. Michelle, of course, made a comment. Mm-hmm. They put that in the episode. You know, like, oh, there's the guy with no hair in his body. Whatever.
So you shaved your body with a razor,
like a trimmer.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. I wouldn't call that shaving.
What is it called? Trimming?
I would say
manscaping.
Some manscaping.
The man, he was manscaping.
Yeah.
But his face, first of all, he just can't grow facial hair on his cheeks, maybe, right?
Right. So you don't think it was any sort of waxing?
No, I think he's just got that natural, like, Malcolm look.
Do men do that? Are men doing sort of a face waxing?
Oh, you know what's funny? I went on a date with a girl who was like, don't you dare ever wax your eyebrows. I was like, what? No, why would I do that? And they're just like, well, I've been on dates with guys who wax their eyebrows. Like, okay. Got it. So I know. I think it's.
Was this the same woman who was freezing her eggs?
Different woman. Frozen egg lady did not make any of those recommendations about my eyebrows. Although she would inject. She's a physician assistant, so she injects Botox.
Now, when you say frozen egg lady, does that imply this was an older woman that you were seeing?
Oh, because lady. Yeah, she was older. She's what? 36, and I'm
36.
32. Yeah.
Okay.
You got a problem with that?
No. Okay. Well,
you can freeze your eggs at any time, though.
Sure.
Yeah. She was very nice. But my friends were very sweet. Like, some of the females were, like, really innocent and nice. They nicknamed her Fregs.
Fregs.
So frozen eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really like that. So I called her Botox in front of everybody. But she would just inject it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was her nickname.
Okay, so hold on. The lady that froze her eggs also was injecting Botox?
Yeah, so she's a physician assistant.
Yes.
And so she would tell me, like, celebrity.
No, but she was injecting Botox in herself telling you about how she injects Botox into people?
My guess is she definitely gets it herself, but she also does it to, like, celebrities here in LA.
Yeah. Okay. And
definitely not Jeff Probst, just so everybody knows.
What about Glozell?
Glozell. Oh, yeah. Glozell Adams. Yeah. Allie told me all about that. Yeah. She gets a lot of Botox. Allie threw her under the bus at that party.
But you're not going to do that, right?
No. Well, I think I would do it. She made it seem like it was very, like, popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Among celebrities. So
yeah.
I guess if I was on TV, sure, if it makes sense.
If it made sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm vain, right?
You're not against it.
No, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah.
Wait, are you against it?
I mean, that the thing about it is I don't think it lasts forever. It's like,
no, it's
like you got to keep doing it. I kind of feel like, what's the point?
Well, you keep doing these podcasts.
Right. I guess so. I guess so. But I don't know. It's like, it feels like a lot of maintenance to go keep doing it over and over.
Yeah. It does seem annoying and expensive, too.
All right. So let's take another question. This is a question about the idea of sending these advantages. If Survivor is going to keep sending these advantages.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know what I was going to say now.
What was it?
No. I was going to say, why don't they just tell people these advantages are in the game? But don't say, like, where they are. Like, once they're found, like, announce it.
That was my thing about the legacy advantage of, like, I didn't understand why you had that in the game and then people didn't know it was in there. And then sort of, like, people could get pissed off, like, oh, wait, who has the legacy advantage?
Yeah, yeah. So my point is, like, as a calculated risk taker at times, it's not a game if you don't know all the rules.
What were the risks that you took?
None, because I didn't get to, like, go to tribal once. But, like, naturally, like, in my real life, but, like... It's just not a game if you don't know the rules and you don't know all the information out there. So it'd be nice to know, hey, these advantages are out there. They've been found, or maybe they haven't been found, whatever. And it makes it more of a strategy game than it actually is now.
Okay, let's play this voicemail for you. This is from Dan, who wants to talk about the way that we are learning about who got these secret advantages.
Okay, hey, Robin. This is Dan. So do you think that they should change Survivor's editing style for these kinds of twists? Because with Jessica's advantage and Ryan's idol in the first episode, their motive seemed kind of unclear. And because they only show the losing tribe after the immunity challenge, should they maybe show one scene after the challenge, or should they stick to their regular only show the losing tribe? Right. Thanks.
Nick, do you think that Survivor has done a good job of explaining why certain people got the advantage from the other person? We had a lot of debate the other night from why did Jessica pick Devin to get the advantage. In the first episode, it was unclear why Ryan gave the idol to Chrissy. We thought when we watched the episode, oh, she threw up. He must have been trying to save the person who was the weakest. It actually turned out to be that he was picking somebody who he thought he could work with down the road. It's been unclear in terms of the episode why Jessica gave the advantage to Devin. Do you like it that there is this discussion that we can sort of like have it be a mystery? Or do you think that there should be maybe a confessional where we see Jessica say after Devin finds the advantage, the reason why I gave the advantage to Devin was blank?
Well, I think what the producers must be doing is exactly what happened with Ryan and Chrissy. They're waiting for the payoff and having that conversation when they switch tribes or they merge.
What if it never happens?
If it never happens, they just sweep it under the rug and they put in other content. So I think that's what they're doing. And I do like that better, I think. Like, let's not do it right away. Save that for another story that's going to develop later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes sense with Ryan and Chrissy. Now you see this alliance building, and this can go deeper into the merge.
I do feel like, though, that we should get a little bit more of the strategy. Even if we don't get the exact reason, like, I feel like it could be a good confessional to get Jessica saying, boy, if I give this idol to Alan, that's going to be something that maybe the heroes are going to be mad at me if I do that, but I could give it to Devin and maybe it could be because, like, at least like give us like some options of what she's thinking.
But
like,
I think
what,
to the producer's point is like, no, why put that now when we can put in other better content, when we can save that?
What's
for
better
Devin
than that? What's better?
Well, like if there's like a camp scene that's like Patrick being crazy. I know that wasn't this episode, but like, they can put other stuff and save that for later,
mm-hmm,
if it crosses.
But I don't think it would have been bad if we would have seen Ryan have a confessional back in the first episode to say, the person I give this advantage to, it has to be somebody that I know I can work with down the road. And it's like, okay, well, he's giving it to somebody to help them and not to sort of create problems for the Heroes tribe. And then it wouldn't have taken anything away from Ryan and Chrissy. If Ryan got told Chrissy, hey, just so you know, I was the person that sent it to you because I felt like I could work with you and I felt like...
But that's repetitive, no?
It would have helped us understand what he was doing, but then it would have been the payoff of seeing them together and her finding out about that.
Okay.
I don't think it would have hurt it.
Okay. I guess maybe it's just a real estate issue with the time. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
I think there's other things you could cut.
Okay.
You can't give me 20 seconds for that?
Okay. I'm not
Come
producing.
Come on, Nick.
I'm not producing. There's four of, or eight of them,
Look,
whatever they do.
I know you got to get back to Redondo. I know your
right.
time is important.
All right. Yeah, you're right. Real estate.
That's right.
It's an hour car ride back, Rob.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's do another question. And let's talk to Millennial Max. Are you a millennial?
I'm technically a millennial.
You're
32.
Technically a millennial.
Yeah, I'm like right at the top.
You're right there. But I feel like that you
born in 85.
Right, but I don't think of you as a millennial.
Why not? What do you think of me as Gen Xer?
I think that I don't know.
What, you think I'm an old man? Old
I don't
drunk?
Think I don't think that you're old, but you don't seem like a millennial.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I feel like
I want a compliment. Is this going to be a compliment?
Well, yeah, maybe you an old
Is it just
soul.
Just because you're a Gen Xer.
Well, I feel
you
like
you want somebody to hang out with you.
Yeah, I want to have somebody to hang out with. And I don't think of you as a millennial.
Yeah, I'm probably not. Yeah, it's definitely easier for me to connect with older people. I'd say.
Right. You're not texting all the time.
No.
You dated a 36-year-old.
That's true. But I've dated younger. But yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Both things. Yes. You're a hustler.
How about I'm a mix? Because I'm in the middle. So it makes sense.
Right. Right. So
I'm a hybrid.
A hybrid. Okay. So here is a question. This is from Millennial Max.
Hey, Rob. This is Millennial Max from Michigan. So didn't Joe miss a huge opportunity? He could have played his idol for Desi, and both him and Desi would have both been safe no matter what. It'd be a 2-2 tie. They'd go to rocks. Both Joe and Alan would be safe. Ashley and Devin would have to draw. Boom. He missed a huge opportunity to engender trust with Desi by playing the idol on her. She even said, if you play the idol on me, I will work with you for the rest of this game. Joe Dunn goofed.
Nick, do you feel like that Joe did Dunn goof? Because once Devin's vote was eliminated, it would have been a 2-2 tie. Doesn't matter what would have happened. All he had to do was play the idol on Desi. Would have been the same outcome. And then he gets to walk away with Desi saying, hey, you know who's a great guy? Joe, play the idol on me.
Right. When I was out Wednesday night at Allie's little showing, Mike Holloway had this exact answer and response.
He's a Survivor winner.
I know. And that's why he won. Yeah, he had this broken down as it was unfolding, or right as it unfolded. And yeah, he's right. Mm-hmm. He should have played it on Desi. But I don't know if you can think of it that well unless you're going to be a winner. You're a future winner. You know, because does Joe know the tie rules? I don't know.
Does he?
And I get confused about the tie rules and like breaking, doing rocks and whatever else, fire, which they don't have until Final Four. But, mm-hmm. but like, it's just, it's a lot to think of in the moment.
Yeah.
But he did miss the opportunity. The caller's right, and so is Mike.
It's happening very fast.
Yeah.
But Mike Holloway, Survivor winner, he's been to a lot of tribal councils. He's been through the battles. It's like a Malcolm Gladwell type thing that he's, you know, had these all these hours of tribal council. Boom, he can process it.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was phenomenal when he was breaking it down. So, yeah, they're right. Joe missed a big opportunity. But again, and like, I didn't really like Joe showboating. Did you?
Which part?
Well, like, you
like
know,
fist pumping.
Yeah, like, and I told you, Desi, like, I was right.
Holler back.
Like, yeah, not a fan. Not a fan of that.
Now, you were blogging about Survivor during Survivor Kageyan,
yes,
true or false?
Was. That's accurate.
Yes. And so you really got to know the ins and outs of the game of one Tony Vlachos, correct?
Did I ever? I still don't understand it, but yeah, I did.
Yes. So what do you think of this Joe-Tony comparison? Do you think we're making too much of it?
You're making too much of it because Joe needs a Trish. Joe doesn't have a Trish.
Oh, so you don't think that Joe is going to come close to being able to do what Tony did?
No, nowhere close, because you need Trish to put out your fires. And I think that's what helped Tony a lot. I'm going to
Could Desi be a Trish?
No. Desi's not. We know when like Jeff was like, your wife gets like caught in the crossfire or whatever. Desi was like, I don't want to be his wife. Like, get me away from
this.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't want to be his partner in crime. So, no, Desi wants no part of this. But props to her, though, for sticking by her original alliance member side or original tribe member side.
Yeah.
That's because she probably doesn't really like him that much, right?
Why does he not seem likable to you?
Well, because remember he was like throwing away good food in like the earlier.
He threw
episodes,
the potato
right?
away.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
You would do that in real life, though.
Okay. Well, wait. No, I know I wouldn't. Why are you putting that on me?
You would eat a potato.
Like a raw potato.
Well, potato, any potato.
Yeah, like a potato chip. How about that?
You like that?
Yeah,
that's fine.
But anyway, but like. Yeah, so I don't think like Desi wanted any part of it, but she's still stuck by his side, so I like that.
I think what Joe needs to do is...
Get a super idol?
Well, that would not be bad, but... So Joe wears glasses sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Joe needs to wear the glasses more.
To look friendlier?
No,
look
because
like Cochran?
No, because then he doesn't look like Tony when he wears glasses. And so...
His cover's already blown. Everybody probably said that. They said that all in the pregame that he like reminded him of Tony.
But not with glasses. That's why he's only wearing the glasses
like
sometimes.
Clark
Kent? Yes. That's
he's
the perfect,
our Superman?
That's the perfect disguise. Then people won't get those Tony vibes from him if he wears the glasses.
You're smoking doobies. No way.
What?
You're smoking doobies in the shower, bro. Like, no.
But that would be the worst place to do that.
That's my point. Like, you're high because, no, like, Joe's
the
Joe's
water cover, would put it out.
Yeah, okay. Joe's cover is blown. It's over. Like, I think it's over for him unless he finds a Trish somewhere in Chrissy, mm-hmm. which is not going to be the case.
And you would eat the potatoes again?
Oh, we're back on this potato thing?
Aubrey says that you have a very strict diet.
Wow,
and
you got a good memory.
Yes, and you only eat chicken and ketchup.
I would not... First of all, that's not accurate. It's mm-hmm. a slight exaggeration, but... It's a raw potato? Is that what they were doing? And he was pissed because it wasn't like cooked.
It wasn't cooked enough, yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't throw it on the ground. I would give it to somebody else because I'm a little
you
bit
would
more
share
of a gentleman.
It.
Yeah,
you would share
yeah.
it with people.
I'm not going to piss anybody off about that. But you're right. I probably wouldn't want to eat it. All I ate was mangoes and coconut pretty much.
In real life? Or...
No, on Survivor. Mm-hmm. We had to like eat snails. I was using like water to take it down.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that?
You know what was funny what Ty would do? Ty would like suck out the guts from the crab.
Yeah.
And then I would eat the crab meat. But I would have like Ty's saliva all over the crab meat.
And it was fine.
And it was fine. Like you just like change your mode. It's just
yeah.
like, and then you look back, you're like, well, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, I would eat the snails. Me and Sue Hawk would.
You like snails?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, but I don't like being hungry.
Yeah, we would have like 5 or 10 snails for like lunch or something like that. It's not enough. It's
no.
gross.
I think you have to sort of, you know.
I'd rather lose weight. Well, isn't Boston Rob like that?
Yeah, well, Rob and Amber, like they would, like Sue Hawk would be like, oh yeah, let's get the eyeballs, let's get the snails. And Rob and Amber, maybe that's what they bonded over, but they were both very precious about what they would or would not eat on Survivor.
Yeah, I need a picky eater for Alliance member.
Yeah, that's
the future.
That'd be good. And then you can bond over that. Okay, let me play this question for you. This is from Jimmy, and he's tired of hearing about how good Chrissy and Ryan and a couple of people are doing this season.
Hey, Rob and Nick, let's talk, okay? Everybody is talking about how Allie and Chrissy and Ryan will be the endgame players this season, and that's fine, you know, good for them. But let's stop talking about them, okay? I'm sick of hearing those three names. Let's talk about other people who have a shot at winning this whole thing. Jessica is one of those people in my mind. Think about it. She's unassuming. She's not threatening, especially once the merge hits. She's not attended a single tribal council, yet she's gotten a very favorable edit. And I honestly think she's going to cut whoever she needs to in order to reach the end of this game. And I'm not crazy about this. I'm damn near confident.
Wow. Jimmy is saying that...
Johnny.
Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy. Okay.
Jimmy is saying that Jessica is not getting enough love in the game.
Well, who else is getting love? He said Ryan, Chrissy.
He's tired of Chrissy and Ryan and Allie.
Okay. Well, one of them is going to have to go by the wayside eventually. One of them has to get booted out pre-merge, most likely. Not all
pre-merge? Wow.
Yeah. Not all of them can make it.
Maybe, well, they're on the same tribe.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and Ryan is locked in with Chrissy. So, yeah, okay. But, Jessica? No, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Because I think her story is just with Cole, and Cole just keeps blowing it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to, as long as Cole is in the game, I think she's screwed.
So you feel like that it would actually be a good thing for her if they could not blindside Cole?
Yeah, yeah. If Cole can get voted out, yes, it would benefit her. But I don't know if that'll happen in the next episode or two.
Do you think she's thinking that way?
No. I think she's still going to stay.
She was crying.
I know.
She was crying that he betrayed her.
I know, but that's her only really tight alliance member, even though, I mean, other than Dr. Mike, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like she's still going to stick with them, and it might be to her detriment. Maybe like a Figgy and Taylor thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Figgy went out before Taylor.
I know. So maybe that could happen to Jessica.
Do you think, does that often happen when there is a couple on Survivor? Do they target the woman?
You know, I think Michelle was always worried about that. That was one of her points. Yeah, I think so. I don't know why, though. Because what? The guy is more likely to
Jeff Probst says
idol?
It's like one of those movies where instead of getting the guy, they get the guy's wife.
Yeah, but...
What movie was that, Nick?
I don't know, all action movies? Is that what he's talking about?
Is that what they do?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah, it happened in Baby Driver. I just watched it the other day. Anyway.
Yeah. It happened on The Sopranos that they couldn't get Christopher. They had to go... The FBI, they decided to go after Adriana.
It's always
Adriana.
The love. It's always the love. And it always, you know, it feels bad. So maybe, that could be
interesting. Spoiler alert.
Maybe Jess is the one. But I also think because Jeff talked about in this beginning of the season about secrets,
mm-hmm.
he was like, oh, this is the season about secrets or whatever. So maybe it's the people who can keep secrets versus the people who can't.
Okay. Well, speaking of secrets, this is a question from Anthony. He wants to know about some secrets that are being kept in this game.
Ooh.
Hello, Robin Mayo. This is Anthony calling, and I have a question. What's more likely to happen, Cole telling everybody else that Jessica is a virgin, or Joe finding his second idol? Thank you.
Okay.
First of all, I like that he called me Mayo. Second of all, he really knows how to endear himself.
You like that nickname?
Yeah, that's a nickname I grew up
that's
with.
That's preferred.
Yeah. If I ever play again, I'll go by Mayo. Oh, no, I'll just go by Mayo Jar. Just a screw with Wiggler.
How would that screw with him?
Well, or you're right. I should just go by Tyler Weiger or something. Like that. Just come up with a whole new name.
Tyler Weiger.
All right. But...
Will Cole tell this to people?
Oh, about her virginity? Did she even tell Cole about her virginity?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? It wasn't shown in the episode.
Was it in the episode or was it in confessional? In the confessional. She better not tell him.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I was going to say, too. Isn't it sort of, I think Jessica's a sweet girl, but isn't it sort of her fault for telling Cole about the advantage that she got?
Why do you need to preface that with that she's sweet?
Well, because I didn't want to, be too analytical on her gameplay. Cause mm-hmm. She seems like a sweet person. But wasn't it her fault? Because I'm blaming her. Wasn't it her fault for telling Cole? Because she already got burned by Cole initially.
Yeah. I think it was a mistake to tell.
Should she have learned her lesson?
Yeah. I mean, she saw that he can't keep a secret from mm-hmm. when he told everybody what he knew about Joe at the Idol. And I do think it was a mistake for her to tell him about the secret advantage.
Right. So she tells him about her virginity. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So she should not do that.
No, no.
Okay. So what's more likely to happen? That Joe finding a second idol or for Jessica to tell Cole about her backstory.
Oh, her backstory. There you go. I like that better.
Or that, and then he tells everybody.
Well, Joe finding another idol. He should have found one. He should have been looking right where the well is originally. That's what David did, right, on mm-hmm. his season. So Joe finding another idol is unlikely, and I'll go with
that's unlikely.
Yeah, because he couldn't find one. When he had the information, the clue on a different beach.
Yeah, but now he lost one. You don't think that then he's going to like, he might have been resting on his laurels or his Laurens. I don't think he was resting on Lauren. But I got an idol. I don't need to worry about that.
That's true. And he's the type to go find one, but look for one.
But now is he going to then go back to the well, literally?
All right, fine. Just because Jessica's not going to tell Cole that, yes, that is more accurate.
Okay, I think that's more likely.
All right, fine.
Okay. This is an interesting question. This is from Chris, who likes this idea of passing the advantages across tribes, and he wants to know if maybe this could be expanded. Here's Chris.
Hey, Rob and Nick. This season is featuring advantages which, due to the need to be played at the next tribal, have to be gifted to someone on a losing tribe if necessary. My question is, could this be applied to regular idols as well? We saw JT give one to Russell at a challenge. But while it might not be a popular move, do you think it'd be possible to have production gift an idol to an ally on a losing tribe? And if not, do you think it should be an option?
Okay. Do you like this idea, Nick, where players would be able to give an idol to somebody on the tribe that's going to tribal council? If so, you're on a tribe, you're on the beauty tribe, Braun is going to tribal council, and you have the option if you want to give an idol to somebody that's in the other group.
And I get to keep it or give it. Yeah, why not?
Now, again, in the beginning of the game, nobody's going to do that. But hypothetically, now...
Switch tribes.
Okay, we have a swap. Mm-hmm. And now if you have an idol, you can send it to your buddy
right.
who's on the other tribe.
Right. I still think it's unlikely to happen. Unless you're like awarded something for giving it away in some sense,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, if you're giving another advantage or if you're giving a clue to another hidden immunity,
you're not rewarded
beach.
In any way. You don't get it.
I think it's unlikely to happen.
But I might like this because
I like it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Why not?
Okay. I think it's less than 50% chance of somebody giving it to their old tribe member on the mm-hmm. other tribe. I just don't think it's likely.
What if, okay, we have, say, in a future Survivor season, mm-hmm. okay, we have maybe no idols hidden before the swap, okay?
Okay.
So maybe no idol pre-swap.
Okay.
And Jeff ends up revealing a twist that, okay, there are idols at your swapped tribes. And if you find an idol and you don't go to tribal council, you have the option to... gift the idol to somebody on the other tribe if that tribe goes to tribal council.
And he announces that.
And it's announced, right.
I'm in.
You're in.
Count me in.
It's just the announcement. You are all about the announcement.
I'm big on the announcement because or else you don't know what's a game. You don't know the rules. It's not a game.
Yes.
It's just TV at that point.
Okay. It's not a game. It's just TV.
It's just Tony Vlacho.
Just Team TV.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, that's
the... No, I like that a lot.
Okay. So Mayo would be passing the idols all over the place, willy-nilly.
Not passing the one to Wiggler. But like
in Koh Rong, when everybody was telling you where all the idols were, you're the person. You probably should have been a game changer.
Oh, I know. I changed the game for sure.
Everybody told you where the idols were.
Oh, no. I was going to say I was a game changer because I let Michelle win. But... Yeah. See, I made all these advantages. No, but it's always good to give more options.
And then you were the person that demanded Survivor explain the rules just now.
Right. They're going to implement that in 37, 38.
The Mayo principle. where they have to spread the information across the season.
I've set a standard. Matt Van Wagen is going to do this. No, I think it's better to give more options. And I think that's what Jeff and the producers are all about. All right, what's going on?
Do you like this idea? It doesn't make any sense for after the merge, right?
No, of course not.
Okay, but to sort of like share, because we have had this be a thing in Survivor really since the very first swap, where Silas ended up being the person who ended up with a different group, I don't even want to say he got screwed by the swap, because he ended up with people who he pissed off from his original group. But there's been a long history of people who end up getting screwed over by the swap just because they end up going to a group that doesn't have that has less people from their original group, and they just get singled out. That's a thing that has happened many a times.
You
disagree with that? Yes.
Well, I mean, it's the player's job to get in with the group regardless of their settings. Mm-hmm. So I don't really believe in getting screwed over by a tribe swap. There's an uphill battle.
Yes. Even like an Aaron in Survivor China who ends up getting sort of picked off where PG and that whole group is they're throwing a challenge to get rid of him.
No, because it's your job within those 2 or 3 days to get good with the majority of the people and mm-hmm. find a crack.
Yeah.
I think that's just part of the game.
All right. So this would help that. This would help that.
It would make it easier to throw things up for chaos. Yeah.
Where somebody who has done a really good job in the first 12 days of the game ends up getting swapped to a group where they're clearly in the minority, where if they've established those bonds so well in those first 12 days or 15 days of the game,
that somebody
who is like that, their original tribe loves them so much that they could get an idol sent to them before they go to the tribal council, and then you're getting the chances of an idol being played in that spot to save somebody are really good. You could have the vote split. I think we're onto something here.
Okay, fine. I'll agree with it. But again, though, it also makes it easier just for that one person to get rid of any person they want in that majority. Like they have all the power. And I get it. They did a lot of work on their previous tribe originally, making those bonds and mm-hmm. like getting that idol. But you would be hard-pressed.
But that person could have an idol. That person could have gone into the swap with an idol.
Right, I know, but you'd be hard-pressed to, like, if an Aaron would, like, voted out a Malcolm. I know it's not the same tribes, but, like, you'd be like, oh, come on, like, we just lost Malcolm over this, and mm-hmm. Aaron was supposed to be going home or whatever. You just don't want to lose a big player or a great personality over something that seems cheap. But I'm not against it at all.
Then they should have split the votes.
Okay. You're okay. Okay.
They should have put, two votes on somebody okay. else, okay.
And as long as you know the rules, fine.
Yeah, man. It's just a way of preventing. So let's say, hypothetically, you had somebody who was like the star of the first, 12 days of the season. Like,
like it happened to Anna. She like made bonds with Julia and Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got over to the tribe and she got voted out because there was too many beauties, technically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like it would have benefited her.
It would have. Well, I don't know who would have. I mean, Ty was literally with her and didn't put give her an idol. But I'm sure we can come up with a scenario with somebody, say, like, Kelly Wentworth in Survivor San Juan del Sur ends up getting swapped to a group where John and Missy and Baylor are going to come together, and they have a majority. There's really not much she can do there, and I don't know. I don't necessarily remember who had the idol at that point. Did Jeremy have the idol, or did Keith have the idol? I forget.
Probably
exactly.
Jeremy.
I think Keith did. I think Keith had it early on and then accused Jeremy of having it. But hypothetically, if he said, okay, well, we got to save Kelly. We got to protect Kelly.
That just takes so much onus off the player in the new tribe, though, to do the work themselves.
But it's not an automatic that they would do it. Then it's like, well, like, in a perfect world, I would like Kelly to stay, but I'm not going to give her my idol.
Yeah, no, I think I would just like the player to do more work on their new tribe. Granted, I get it, but mm-hmm. I would just like them to put in the work.
Okay, we're talking a lot about idols and advantages and people potentially getting screwed over by them. This is Larissa. She has a theory, and let's see what you think about what she's proposing.
Hey, Rob and Nick, this is Larissa calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I'm just wondering if the producers are purposely putting in so many advantages in the game so that they can have a screwed over by idols and advantage a season. What do you think? Thanks. Bye.
Nick, are we going to, at some point, get a screwed over by idols and advantages season?
That wouldn't be bad, actually.
You like this idea?
Yeah, I mean, that's not terrible. There's plenty of storylines there.
Yeah. Do we have enough people for that?
I mean, yeah.
Is that why we need to have all, like, 10 advantages and idols in a season so that we can really fill out this cast?
Yeah, it's a reason to bring back Suri. I think it's a good theme, maybe, somehow. But you're right. I don't know if we have enough people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess you could say James was screwed by having two idols.
Could we figure out a way to get you back on this?
Yeah.
You got screwed over by there not being enough idols or advantages in your season?
We can say medevacs.
Yes.
Medevacs ruined my game.
Yeah.
Because Neil got medevaced.
And so that would have saved you?
And then I paid the price for it.
You paid the price?
For the 6 days.
You got screwed by the super idol that they didn't use it to save you.
No. Oh, yeah. We didn't think of that. I actually thought Jason and Scott were voting for me. But yeah, we didn't think of that. But no, it's Neil's fault.
Because they had the super idol
they
that
did.
They could have put it together and saved you.
Right. We weren't that smart. We weren't Mike Holloway smart.
And they didn't use it to save you. Therefore, thus, you were screwed by a twist.
Oh, okay. Okay, I like that pitch. I'll take either one.
Yes. Do you want to go back? Do you want to play again?
I do enjoy playing, and I would go back for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just have to bake Lynn Spillman and Jeff some cookies or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I would love to.
Okay. So, what do we need to do? So, okay.
Like I just said, I think we have to bake goods, bake sale.
Bake sale? Does that work?
No, I don't think it works.
That doesn't work.
No.
Okay. So we just got to figure out the right format.
Yeah. What's the theme?
Okay. So
not Brain Beauty Brawn All-Stars. No.
No. So what could it be? Do you have something?
No, I don't have anything. I would like to see a One World Second Chance All-Star season. That would be cool.
Okay. So One World. See.
Yeah, I can only fit on a Second Chance season, I think, at this point.
Okay, so if people would vote you back in?
Ooh, would they? We'd have to get the rap contingent, the mm-hmm. army, to vote for me.
Yes, okay. Well,
you're not buying that.
What, would they vote you back
yeah.
on?
I think I would be like 10 or 9 if I got lucky to get on.
Yeah, but that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, where people forget about you.
You want to just make the cast
right.
on these all-star seasons.
Right.
Wow, you could be a Survivor winner.
Yeah, I think I will be.
You could be the winner. How did he do it? He went from professional Manny to the next Survivor millionaire. Yeah, that's your story.
No, my storyline from the first season, douche chills. He went from douche chills to good vibe chills.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't even eat chicken without ketchup. And now look at him. He's the winner of Survivor Second Chance All-Stars. One World.
Yeah, but basically that pitch didn't go as well as I thought. So I think this is less likely to happen. They have to pretend I'm Ken. That's pretty much my in.
Why? Are you and Ken fighting for the same spot?
Well, I mean, he just went further and maybe some of the casuals like him better. I hate using the term casuals. Maybe some of the broader audience likes him better.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Okay, let me play this question for you. This is a question from Dick for Nick.
Hello, I have a question for Nick. Who from that season would you like to see on the All-Star Beauty Tribe?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This guy's funny.
Yeah, who should be on the All-Star Beauty Tribe?
From this season?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's asking?
Let me check. Let's see.
Hello, I have a question for Nick. Who from that season would you like mm-hmm. to see on the All-Star Beauty Tribe? Bye-bye.
Yeah, you said who from this season?
Yes.
Let's.
Who should be on the All-Star Beauty Tribe?
Well, this should be relatively easy, I believe. There's some pretty people on here to mm-hmm. pick from. Ali, Desi, Jess.
Okay, so let me just... Ali... Desi, Jess.
Okay, now I need three dudes.
Yeah.
I need Cole, Devin,
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody who's like beautiful on the inside to take Ty's spot.
Is that how it works?
No, wait a minute. That sounded terrible. No, like Ty's a cute man. He's a good looking guy. Hold on. No, this is good. I set this up terribly. I'm just going to pick somebody else good looking. Who's the guy? I need somebody. Oh, Alan Ball. Yeah, that'd be great.
There you go. I wanted to ask you about Ryan and if you identified with him at all, that he is a fellow New Jersey native.
He is.
A strategist.
He is. He bashed me in the early interviews with Wiggler, yes.
Do you have a rivalry with him?
Yeah, I do now.
Yeah.
I didn't pick a fight with him. Yeah. He's picking a fight with a guy who's probably twice his size.
Yeah.
He's got some nerve, this New Jersey kid.
Yeah.
I don't see anything. Maybe the same sense of humor or similar sense of humor, a little sarcasm, but no.
So you like him?
Yeah, no, I like Ryan.
Okay.
But again, though, like I told this to Aubrey when the season ended, like the analogies can become too much.
It's too much.
If you do it in front of people.
Yeah.
It can become like nauseating. It's like, all right, we get it. Here's another
Do you feel
analogy.
Like that you really need to nail the analogies to try to do them?
Yeah, but in confessional, I would say. Keep
do it in confessional. Yeah. Don't do public analogy.
Yeah, I know like Jeff likes it and the producers like it in the tribal councils, but you got to limit it somehow because then you just become that person. It's just really...
Because Jeff does it a lot.
Jeff does it for sure.
At tribal council.
He's allowed to.
Yeah. He throws him out there where it's like, I feel like this tribal council is, this is like therapy where you're the guy and you're the girl and then I'm the therapist and then it's like, you know.
He's leading us, yeah.
I feel like this is like a movie where you're the person who's the bad guy, you're the good guy.
Right. Well, I feel
like this is like a restaurant where I'm the waiter, you're the person, you're the patron, that you're the cook, you're sending the food back, and I'm the person who's trying to settle the check.
You're exaggerating, but yes, he is like that a little bit. But like that's how some of the questions are on the island too. So like you are led down the path of analogies. Like, I remember, like, the geeks versus the jocks.
This is like an audit where I'm the IRS.
Oh, my God.
You don't have the receipts.
How many of these do you have?
Yeah, unlimited. There's one for every tribal council.
So you are that Ryan. No, like, so I would say limited. But I like Ryan.
Yeah. So, okay. So you thumbs up.
Yeah.
Where is
the analogies to Jeff?
Okay. Where is he from in proximity to you in from Jersey?
No, I think he's in central Jersey. I'm in North Jersey, like right on the border of New York and New Jersey. So I think probably an hour away, my guess.
An hour away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can get to his house. No time. No problem.
Are you worried about, you know, that is like very firm Majorano country. Are you worried about some of those Majorano stands flipping to Ryan stands?
No chance.
No chance.
None. Well, unless he wins. You know, these New Jersey people keep winning. Natalie Anderson, Michelle, Tony's from New Jersey. If Ryan pulls it off, you're right. It will become Ulrich Land. Ulrich Land, whichever one it is.
New Ulrich Land.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then in that fan vote, forget it now. Now you're 11.
Yeah, he's the only... Ugh. Imagine that. He booted me off. I'd really beat him up then.
Okay. This is a question. This is from Graham from the Bay wants to know if maybe this isn't as bad for Ashley as we may have thought.
Hey, Rob and Nick, it's Graham from the Bay. I want to talk about Ashley because I don't know if she made the right call sticking by Alan in the vote. If Ashley wouldn't mind seeing Alan go and knows he has the potential to ruin her game, I don't think it's a bad idea for her to go to Joe and Desi and Devin after that confrontation with Alan and be like, hey, I know Alan gets on your nerves. TBH, he gets on my nerves too. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him go. If you guys be down, I'd be down to take out Alan. To me, that puts Ashley on Joe and Desi's good side. She can still form a twosome with Devin, being the only singles from their previous tribes. And there's potential for her later on to be reeled into Joe and Desi's alliance with the other healers, if one exists, and also Devin's alliance with Ryan and Allie. Basically, should she have jumped ship, or did she make the right call sticking by Alan? Do you guys see anything to this idea? Love to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay.
I think, no, I would not have done what Graham from the Bay just said, because I think the risk outweighs the reward.
Too risky.
Yeah, too risky. Because you let's pretend they don't have an idol and Devin doesn't get that disadvantage. You're in a good seat. You just flip Devin. Like, there's no problem with it whatsoever. I get what Graham's saying. Because you're all, that, I think that only works in a six-person tribe. If Devin had another healer like Ryan on the tribe,
mm-hmm.
and Ashley was like, okay, I'll throw Alan under the bus for sure. Now she's safe for two votes. She's safe for that one when Alan goes home. And now she's the swing vote between Ryan and Devin and Joe and Desi. But that's the only scenario. So with five people, I would say no. I think she made the right move.
Okay.
What about you?
It, you know, it's so hard in this particular spot because as we've mentioned a couple times where that the everything changed when Devin had his vote taken away.
Yeah.
They're going into that tribal council sort of in they're ultimately deciding where Joe has to play his idol correctly. It's like they've got a 50-50 chance to ultimately get one somebody out from that side. I wonder that. Are they better off hypothetically if they could have played this better and then increased their odds where, okay, maybe next vote have a 50-50 shot that it's one of them that goes home, but have a sure thing on this vote where try to throw Devin under the bus and really shore things up. Because as I was saying in the recap episode, I'm really starting to feel like in the tribe swap, it's just about survival. Just get to the merge and then pick up the pieces at that point. So what can you do to increase your chances? Like, what does it matter ultimately? But again, it's sort of where if you could get it to 3-2 and then be able to have two votes where you know who the person that's going to go home is going to be, you know, you that if you could make that happen. But I feel like it's almost like a... It's so risky.
Right. Yeah. No, I think you have to stay by your alliance member side in that scenario mm-hmm. until tribal, then maybe change it up. And plus, I feel like she was getting along with Devin better than she was Alan at that point.
Yeah.
I think she was saying that Joe was saying that they have a bond over beaches and surfing.
Right. The real question is going to be what happens if this group has another tribal council?
Yeah.
Now, what happens at this point?
We're going to rocks, right?
You're going to rocks.
Unless Desi throws Joe under the bus.
Which is possible.
That would be the only scenario that I could see.
Yeah. And then you don't even know if there could be another idol now hidden.
Right.
And actually, exactly. There's still an idol at that camp.
Yes.
There could be an idol found.
Right.
Okay.
And it seems that they have a strong tribe, so.
All right. Let me ask you this question. This is from Gregory.
What's going on, Rob and Nick? This is Gregory McBean. I have a question for Nick today. Nick, will you be going on a pizza date anytime soon with a man named Tyler Weigert? Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Tyler Weigert?
What's going on with you and Tyler Weigert?
Tyler Weigert. First of all, I forgot this story. I was talking to Allie's mom. All right, calm down. At her viewing party or whatever. And she brought up Tyler Weigert. She brought up Joshua. She was like, I don't know if you know Josh. And like, I know you played, but I was like, and like the first words out of my mouth were, you know what they were? I said, oh yeah, I love Josh Wiggler. Like I was so annoyed with it. I was like, no, I don't. I don't love Josh Wiggler. I was just trying to like appease Allie's mom. Anyway,
well, what was she saying about in reference to?
She was referencing his like pregame articles or an exit interview. I was just thrown off when she brought up his name because like, I don't want to hear his name mm-hmm. out and about. So anyway, no, I'm not doing a pizza date with him anymore because we went out to dinner. Remember when we went out to dinner one time? You, me, a couple other survivors.
Yes. In the summer.
And he brought two friends along.
Mm-hmm.
He went around the table. Zeke and I were sitting next to each other. And Wiggler went around the table and complimented each and every person in front of everyone. And me and Zeke looked at each other like, did he just compliment everyone? Did he just suck everybody's kneecaps in front of everyone? So that's the type of guy Josh Wiggler is.
Wait, so hold on. I'm confused. I'm confused. So, and again, I thought that you guys were just like joking around, but this seems like now this is like a real, you have beef with him that when we were at that restaurant.
Yeah.
You feel like that
he's fake.
He's too nice.
Oh, well, I think it's phony nice.
Yeah.
Because again, though, I can't believe he blew his own cover, though. Because I'm serious. How many people were at that?
I don't know if I'm following exactly. So what you're saying that because he complimented everybody, that you feel like he's...
He's just sucking everybody's kneecaps to get in their good graces.
Well, how do you know he doesn't feel that way?
Well, it seems so over the top.
What was the compliment that he gave to you? I'm sure you remember.
No,
you have a journal. You have a journal about every compliment you get.
No, there's too many. I can't journal that.
You run out. You need a bigger binder.
No, I can't remember. I'm not even making this up because Zeke can confirm it for me. But okay. It was just so astonishing that he would do that and like throw his cards all on the table that he's just like a schmoozer. So now I think he's just been schmoozing me this whole time to take him out on pizza dates. I think he's schmoozing you for the Wanda off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all for his big plan. Like, I feel like he's going to get me back.
He's going to get one compliment at a time.
Well, like, if I go back for a season, like, he's going to throw me under the bus somehow. Like, say, like, oh, yeah, Nick wanted you out first. Nick wanted you out first. Go down the line.
He's a professional. He wouldn't do that.
No, I think he's manipulating.
All to get you out?
Yeah, I think there's...
Why? Why is he doing all this?
Well, yeah, first of all, he has another alias, Tyler Weigert.
Yes.
He's like Jason Bourne over here.
Tyler Weigert?
Yeah, fair play, threw him under the bus. No, but oh, and then I think the other thing is, too, I think he brought those friends along. I think he rented them.
No.
Yes.
I've met them before.
No, I know, because he was on one of your podcasts. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like the stories were matching up too much that I think he, like, orchestrated.
I don't understand. What is the genesis of this beef now? I've completely forgotten now why you're even feuding with Josh.
You know what? I think I've forgotten, too. I just think he's like the suckiest kneecapper. That's what he does. And he might be the suckiest recapper now that I think about it.
No, come on.
He's the suckiest kneecapper and the suckiest recapper. Yeah, screw Josh Wiggler. And anybody who brings him up to me, whoever this caller was, I'm coming after you too. You're on the Ryan hit list as well.
What does that mean, I'm coming after you?
We'll go do a pizza date. And I'll flip you over to my alliance and say, screw Josh Wiggler.
Okay, there's no way that we could heal this.
Oh, unless we go on the healer tribe together.
Yes. Like, again, what if a healer came in? Could they fix this?
Yeah, let's bring in... Who do we bring in? Who's a healer?
Dr. Mike.
Rourke. Oh, Dr. Mike. Oh.
Yes.
Well, that's another issue altogether. Yes. Who's Dr. Mike coming for?
Yes.
Hopefully Wiggler. But like again, though, like he like threw up or almost threw up at one of the challenges for this season. Again, I think it's all antics. I think he's a theater guy. I think he's faking it.
You think that his cardiovascular skills are actually on point.
Yeah.
And you think he was faking that he was getting sick after competing in the challenge.
Yeah, we've literally ran to like a pizza shop together and he was fine. So don't tell
why
me.
Did you run there?
Because it was about to close. So he was like, he was not out of breath whatsoever.
Yes.
So like, I think he planned this banter with Matt Van Wagon and it seemed like he's cooler than he actually is. Like on Twitter, they were going back and forth. It's just like, bro, I'm on to you.
You're on to him. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to see what Josh says about all of this.
Oh, and I listened to his, I got more.
Yes.
I listened to his Taryn interview.
Yes.
Talking about Emily Fox, his wife.
Yes.
I think that's a whole lie, too.
That's not a lie.
You know, he was saying like she came on to him like, yo, Wiggler, let's hang out. I think it's the other way around. I think he was knocking on her door. He makes it seem.
We'll have to wait for her Taryn show interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to interview her.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I don't mean it like that, but like. I'll meet her one day.
Yeah. Are you going to appear on the Taryn show?
No, he digs too deep. I don't want to give up that much information. No. I know how much information he digs. No way. I'm staying away.
You're going to stay.
I'm too smart for that. Or I'm too dumb for that. Whichever one.
All right. Nick, are you ready to get into some of the social media after this week's episode of Survivor?
Oh, boy. I think I am. But I do have a statement to make about this.
Okay, yeah, what is the statement to make?
I'm not a huge fan of Rupert tweets.
Okay, all right, well,
but I still want to do it.
Spoiler alert, Rupert did not tweet this week, so
yeah, he's too self-aware now.
He's too self-aware.
The Rupert self-aware.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know. I just don't think I like Rupert's sense of humor, so I think it annoys me. Or yeah, I don't even know if he has one. And I'm not trying to pick on Rupert, but it's just not, I'm not entertained by Rupert's real tweets.
Okay. All right. Well, happy to say that you don't have to put up with that this week.
No.
All right. Let's bring in
like
the Survivor social media. And here is what Ryan Elder has put together.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than watching Ashley fumbling around with some keys. Tweets.
All right.
Hey, I love Ryan Elder's music. It's great.
Ryan Elder is fantastic. Johnny Fairplay was not a fan of Rick and Morty last week.
Oh, I don't watch Rick and Morty either, but I met Ryan Elder and I didn't realize, you know, from Snakes and Goats or Goats. Whatever.
Yes.
I've listened to him a bunch pre going on Survivor and like I was like, oh, you're Ryan Elder who does music on rap? I was like, this is great.
Yes. Well, he does music a lot of better places than here.
Right. I know.
At Ryan Elder Music. Okay. All right. So you actually had a tweet this week that you tweeted out. RHAP voicemails tomorrow, so I'm honoring Rob with this best to never win list. You have number one, Suri. Number two, then you had me. Number three, David Wright. And number four, you, Nick Majorana.
Yeah, you think that's an accurate list?
Yeah. Well, you put this list out there. Now, how did you make this list with this infographic?
What do you mean? Oh, just like a little Photoshop and a Google Images, you know?
Yes.
I just throw it together, and I'm just like, all right, what's going to be the funniest? Do I put Rob first? No. Do I put me first? No, it's too obvious. But then I did put like a little footnote saying I should be first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, you got a lot of responses to this. A lot of...
Yeah, too many. Stop responding so much, everybody.
A lot of the survivors actually weighed in.
Oh, yeah. I see you liking these comments, too. What are you liking?
What? That's no...
You have so many hearts. What are you doing liking all these comments?
Why? I shouldn't like the...
You're being a little egotistical saying you're one of the best to never win. You're agreeing with it?
So look, a lot of people were having fun with your tweet, and I'm encouraging the participation.
Okay. Brett and Chris chimed in. I know that.
Yes, Brett and Chris chimed in.
They're rooting for their boy David.
Yeah. This is from Matt S, who says, "Can't believe you disrespect Patrick Bolton like that."
Leave him up the list. I shouldn't have left him out.
Yeah. And this is from Simon Nivet, who said, "Such a shame that they had tribal councils after the merge. Otherwise, you would have killed it."
Oh, dude, that was funny. I actually like laughed to myself when I read that.
I mean,
that was good.
That was unfair that they had all those tribal councils after the merge in your season, because you were cruising along.
I was doing great.
Without even a bump in the road.
No bumps.
Right.
Until...
And then they
threw in that tribal.
Right.
Out of nowhere. Like I said, I need to know the rules before playing.
Right. They didn't have one right before.
No, they could have told me another.
And all of a sudden, boom, here's a tribal council.
All of a sudden, Michelle and Julia get a little silly and don't know what they're doing.
Right.
We're going to blame them.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I made that. You're the best to never win, you and Suri.
Thank you. Thank you. I will print that out and then put that up on the wall.
That's a joke. Okay. Don't print that.
Okay. Well, why not? Why can't I print it?
Okay, you can print it.
Okay.
My tweets are the best. All right. Woo! All
right. In other tweets this week, # Figgy weighed in. Tribe swaps suck. There, I said it. Figgy got that off her chest.
Okay. Let's make it selfish. That's how survivors are, though. I'm not bashing Figgy for that. Everybody's a little narcissistic. Huh?
Yes. Everybody brings it back to their season.
Not me.
You don't?
No, not really.
Okay.
Unless I'm trying to like parody narcissism. But go on.
So if you do it, you're parodying narcissism.
Yeah. Nobody else parodies. I parody.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from your season, Michelle Fitzgerald tweeted, "I'm more emotionally invested in Survivor than I am in my dating life."
Oh, the guys in her life are probably not happy about that, huh?
Right. She needs
to focus on them a little more.
But that could be like a shots fired at somebody.
Yeah. Ooh, you're right. She might be subtweeting somebody.
Right.
Maybe she's subtweeting. Well, I won't blow up her spot.
What, you know?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's public information who she's may or may not
have dated. All right. Well, we don't.
We'll just leave it there.
Yeah. Let's not dox Michelle on the podcast.
No, okay. No. Michelle's sweet.
All right. Candace Cody tweeted out, "I have so many thoughts about Survivor tonight, but I can't tweet them because John Cody isn't here to tell me everybody's name. # facial blindness."
Okay, so far, Michelle's tweet's pretty good, but the rest are.
Did you know that about Candace?
What? That Josh? No, that she has facial blindness?
Yeah, she doesn't know that. Do you have a hard time remembering everybody's name on Survivor?
Not so much, not to the extent of Candace. But yeah, I'm glad we know that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's always good to overshare.
Okay. Cass tweeted, "I hope Joe has stock in at Target because he has their logo on his back now. # Survivor." See what she did?
No. Payback?
No.
Less? What? What
is Target.
It? Oh, Target. Oh, I was thinking Walmart for some reason.
No.
Okay, that's a good one, Cass. I like that.
You like that.
Yeah. I wonder if she saved that one.
Do you agree that Joe has a big Target on his back now?
I think, yeah. I think he's had a big Target on his back since the beginning, just the way he's been acting. Yeah. I don't think Joe's long for this game.
Okay.
That was a good tweet, though.
You liked it.
Yeah. I'll usually draft him. I feel like Cass might be a drafter as well.
She's a drafter?
Like, you know, like you save him. Like, I save mine up.
Oh, so you have a Twitter inbox. Could you share one with us? That's a sneak preview of a tweet.
Nobody's
ever done this before. Nobody's ever told us like a
no. Because like some of my drafted tweets are like really bad. Like if somebody saw them, they'd be like, "Ooh, that's not nice." And I was like, "And I always delete those, obviously."
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Can I just tweet this one now as I say it?
Sure.
All right. Well, this one is not about Survivor. Do you want one about Survivor?
Whatever.
Okay. I have it's a gift though. But anyway, when your date asks you to spell your last name so they can Google you, I've had that happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, no. I don't want to spell my last name so you can Google me.
So you're out with someone.
Yeah.
And she says, wait, how do you spell your last name again? Yeah. And then is she writing it down or is she typing it right there into Google?
I mean, she definitely looks like she's memorizing it. I had this one girl who did it.
What comes up if somebody Googles you?
Well, like all the Survivor stuff. Like, and once you see my Twitter and my Instagram and like whatever else video pertains to Survivor,
mm-hmm.
some girls are like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Tell me on the dating scene, okay? Yeah. So that you...
I didn't tweet that out. I just spoiled it.
Yeah.
Go on.
Spoilers. We should have done a spoiler warning at the top of the show. So when you are dating someone, most women, do they find out that you run Survivor and that's a turn off? Like, do you try to keep it a secret? Or are they like, oh, that's an interesting anecdote about you?
I can usually get away with it until the second or third date. Sometimes it comes out on the first because they ask my last name and they like whole ass to spell it. I'm just like, Jesus. And sometimes it comes out beforehand because they like ask for your Instagram, like if you're on these dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, just a warning. I'm not really like that, but like just a heads up. So if I don't meet them, I feel like it's a 50-50 shot if I give them my Instagram, okay? So like they might be turned off by it. Mm-hmm. They might not like want to go hang out. Some of them are okay with it. And then if I meet somebody and I go out like on a second date or third date and they find out and I have to tell them, they're confused.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll still go on a few dates with me at least.
Right.
Just because like I've built up this like, because I, hold on, not built up.
Have you ever gotten dumped from a woman who finds out that you were on Survivor and like, I'm not that type of girl?
No, she's just been, they've just been confused. They've just been like, I don't get who you are. Wait a minute. Are you this guy that's online or this guy in Survivor? Are you this guy who you've presented?
And what do you say? And what do you say?
I say, no, I'm the guy that I've been presenting to you.
Okay.
And you know, it's kind of fun for me. I kind of get...
You like it. Why? Yeah. What's fun about it?
Because it's like an extra challenge for me.
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, no, nah, I'm not.
Otherwise, it's too easy?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It'd be too easy for you if you went out there bumbling, swiping, dude.
Yeah, no, I don't want it.
Yeah,
I don't,
successful I don't, podcast,
no.
been on Survivor.
No,
you've more than me.
If my marriage fails, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
Well, or you'd have to put two kids, I guess. Yeah, divorced. No, but mm-hmm. there's women who like that.
No.
You're a successful man.
I'm out the game. No. I'm out the game. One way or the other.
You're getting swipe rights. I know it.
No. Nope. All right. Brian Corridan tweeted out, Chrissy said, what made you give me the idol? Did I seem kind? Am I like your mother? Ryan says, yes, those things. Definitely not the puking. A lot of people think it was the throwing up.
Right. No, but it was reversed. Yeah. Well, they just didn't dig deeper. But it's hard to know that unless you like... scrounge the internet.
Unless you know about that. Okay. So we don't have a Rupert tweet game for you.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
I don't have Rupert tweets for you.
No, Rupert. Okay, whatever. Okay. What do you have for me?
But mm-hmm. what I have for you
okay.
is a new Twitter game.
I'm scared.
That we're playing around with. Okay.
Ooh, I'm the first person. I'm like,
we're testing this out with you.
Okay.
And this is called Obscure Survivor Tweet Game.
Ooh, I am.
Okay. Here's how this game is going to work. We're going to give you four tweets about this week's episode of Survivor.
Okay.
Three of them are going to be from survivors that you would not expect to be live tweeting the episode.
Ooh. I'll go look at some survivors' handles occasionally. So, okay.
Okay.
I should know this.
All right. And one of them is an Alexis Maxwell tweet disguised as one of the obscure Survivor tweets.
Okay.
Okay.
So I have to guess who these survivors are?
No, you have to guess which one is actually the Alexis Maxwell
ooh,
tweet.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I've read Alexis Maxwell's Twitter feed before, not this past episode.
So you're familiar with her voice?
I'm familiar with her opinions on Twitter, yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Number one.
Okay.
This is from Paloma from Survivor Gabon.
Okay.
She tweeted out, "Also, Alan was just starting to grow on me, and then he got the boot. Hashtag Survivor." That's Paloma from Survivor Gabon.
Allegedly.
Okay. Allegedly. Number two, from Jesse Camacho. Allegedly.
Ooh, okay.
Wow. Did not see that one coming. Awesome tribal at Survivor CBS. Won't spoil it. Hashtag HHH. Hashtag Survivor.
Ooh, that doesn't sound like Alexis. I don't think she would say won't spoil it. But go ahead.
Okay. All right. Number three. This is Jill Bame from Survivor Nicaragua.
Oh, yeah. I know Jill. Okay.
Okay. She tweeted out, "Tribe swaps are the pits at Jeff Probst. Hashtag Survivor."
Oh, that's unfair. That pertains to Alexis Maxwell because she got tribe swapped and she.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, somebody could have sent her the idol, though.
Okay, but
LJ, LJ could have sent her the idol.
Okay, all right. Her. Back to that.
Could have saved her. Okay, would have been that was a boring episode, and then that could have been exciting.
Okay.
Probably the most boring episode of Survivor Kagiyan.
Be quiet. Stop pitching that.
Okay. All right. And number four, Rhino, a.k.a. Ryan Opre.
Okay, I know Ryan. Okay.
Okay. He tweeted, allegedly, "Too many damn twists in the game. Seriously, too much S word to worry about."
No, yeah, Alexis wouldn't swear. All right, so that's out. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, what do you got?
All right, so wait a minute. So Jill didn't get screwed over by a tribe swap. Alexis did. So why would Jill tweet that? It's either the first one or the third one. I'm going to go with... no, the third one seems too obvious. I'm going to go with Jill's. Alexis is... That's that one.
Okay. So you said the Alexis Maxwell tweet is... "Tribe swaps are the pits at Jeff Probst. Hashtag Survivor."
Wait a minute. Would Alexis Maxwell use the word pits? That's like an old person word. Fudge. All right, I'm sticking with it, but then I'm going to go with the first one after that.
Okay, so your final answer is
the pits.
Okay.
So not what Alexis
said. No pumpkin.
Yeah,
no.
See? Oh.
No, Jill Bame did tweet that out. Yeah. She did get screwed over by tribe swap.
She did?
She did.
She was out before the merge?
She was out before the merge. They had a tribe swap, and then it was between her and Marty, and then they had the idol that they found together, and Marty had the idol.
See, only if I would have known my Nicaragua better.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of Nicaragua. Okay. But anyway, okay, so it's got to be the first one.
Yep. Paloma did not tweet, "Also, Alan was just starting to grow on me, and then he got the boot. Hashtag Survivor." That was Alexis Maxwell.
Darn it. Second.
Second one. Second, you got it on the second try. Hey, better than Johnny Fairplay. It took him five tries to get the Rupert tweet.
Johnny Fairplay couldn't even get Josh Wiggler's name right. So what's he going to get the tweets right?
All right. Nick, well, we got into, I think, just about everything. Anything else?
So.
Anything else going on?
No, that's about it. We both have date nights tonight, don't we?
Yes. Yeah, so
what are you doing for your date?
I'm going to go out with Nicole. We're going to go to a restaurant. I don't really know where.
Italian or?
No, the last time. Well, here's what. So the last time I went out for my anniversary,
okay,
I took Nicole to a steakhouse, okay, and I ate so much that I came home and I was like, after like the merge feast, I was just like,
oh, no.
I was just like doubled over. Uh-huh. Because we were talking about this before the show, you know, I lead a very regimented life, Nick.
Right. The same meals, healthy.
Same meals. And then sometimes I get out of the house and I'm a lunatic.
You're an animal.
I'm an animal. And so I don't want to be like that again. I don't want to be sick tonight.
Okay. So you don't know what type of cuisine, what type of food?
Yeah, I'm just going to, I think, go to like, you know, there's a bunch of restaurants that are over around here.
Is this for your birthday?
For my birthday, yes.
Okay. So is
gonna get a babysitter. We have a baby. We don't even have one Manny, let alone four.
Oh, okay. Would you ever allow a Manny to be here? Or would you rather have a nanny?
I would
hesitant.
Yeah. Look,
you're not very trustworthy of the Manny.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the idea
profession.
Of the Manny. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Wow.
I'm anti Manny.
Wow. You don't think Mannies are trustworthy?
I don't know.
You're saying no.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else other than dinner?
No, that's probably it.
Okay. Nice.
That's probably it.
Will you have like cake there? And like, will they bring out a candle and like do that? Do you like that? Like, yeah, happy birthday.
Does anybody like that?
No, there's some people who like attention like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't
know. A lot of Survivor players, probably.
I mean, I have a podcast for attention. I don't need to go out and get that in the real world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think dinner will be nice then.
It should be nice. It should be nice. And then
hopefully we'll go to a restaurant that you want to go to.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll do something.
I don't want to hear you complain anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, Nick, thank you so much. I always appreciate it when you schlep up here all the way from the OC. We come up here. I always appreciate it.
I love coming up here. This is fun for me.
Yeah.
I do it every
day. You're fresh off of the Survivor viewing party with the cast.
Right. Fresh off the match game. Fresh off of all
Fresh
of
off
it.
The match game appearances. So you are on a real hot streak now.
Oh, yeah. I'm out and about. I'm socializing.
Out and about. Anything you want to plug?
There was a joke there, a sexual joke, but I'm not going to go there. Yeah, no.
Speaking of sexual issues, are you a fan of Dr. Mike? Are you enjoying him?
I am enjoying Dr. Mike. I feel like I'd get along with him. He's got a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But I don't want him to be my doctor anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Although that happens with old age, so
yeah,
it's bound to happen. So he'd be good to know.
Be a good guy to have on in your Rolodex.
Yeah, once the testosterone takes a huge dip.
Once it takes a dip.
Call Dr. Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Give me a little help up.
Sure. Good person to keep in touch with.
Right. Yeah, but that's it. Nothing to plug.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Stuff. Follow Nick Majorano on Twitter.
Yeah, you might laugh a little bit.
Are you the only survivor that's not verified on Twitter yet?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with
What's going on there?
I think it's a conspiracy theory started by Josh Whitler, probably.
They're keeping you down?
Yeah, because, you know, like, I obviously have one of the better Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
But they just don't want to give me that blue check mark.
Yeah.
No, I'm not against that. I kind of like it, because now that everybody has it, I'm going against the grain with that one.
Right.
So that's more my thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking it up. You're not the only survivor.
You're looking up, like, terrible people right now who, like, got voted out, like, second or third.
First.
Granted, I got voted out first in my first tribal, so it's on similar page. Now I think
so
about it.
So you have to make it to two tribals to get verified?
Yeah, now I think about it.
About Instagram?
Oh, I do have the blue check on Instagram, thankfully, but...
Yeah, what's going on on Instagram?
I don't like Instagram, man. I just don't like it.
You're verified on Instagram?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I know, right?
How are you verified on Instagram and not on...
I know. I'm better on Twitter. I use Twitter more for my jokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just pulled the okey-doke. They're just playing a joke on me. I know that. These social networks are
getting... Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah, Nick Majorano is verified on Instagram, but not on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah. Who's this kid that's in a picture with you?
What? What kid? Show it to me. Oh, that's my...
Is this the kid you used to manny for?
Yeah, no. No, I only mannied a 5-year-old and up. No, that's my buddy's and his wife's kid. Yeah, my friend's kid. They moved back to New Jersey recently.
Okay.
So I think I was babysitting him that day. So I was back to mannying with another friend of ours. We were babysitting.
Yeah. You really don't post a lot on Instagram.
I hate it.
Because like 12 pictures ago was the last time you were here, and it was like a year ago.
A year ago. Yeah, no, it's too narcissistic for me. I don't like it.
Yeah, we were watching I think it was Game 7 of the World Series last year.
And there's a game coming up on in a couple hours right now. The Yanks versus the Astros. Yeah. Okay.
All right, it's all happening. It's come full circle.
All right, follow Rob Sesternino too.
I endorse Nick Majorano to be verified on Twitter.
Wow. I will
come out and endorse you, unlike all of the people in New Jersey who are now all endorsing Ryan Ulrich to be verified on Twitter.
Ugh. No more New Jersey people. I have to be the first.
You have to be the
first. Winner.
The next winner.
From New Jersey.
All right.
All right.
It's all happening. Are you still openly campaigning for a spot to be on the Wiggle Room?
He's having guests, huh?
Yes.
He has not invited me, and I would not campaign for it either, because I don't want to be on his
stupid show. Would you turn it down?
If he asked me, like, he apologized to me for everything that he's done wrong, yeah, I would entertain it. I would be on it.
You would think about it.
Yeah, but again, though, like, I don't know, he's shady, so. But yeah, I would do it if he apologized, yeah.
What does he have to do, compliment you?
Yeah, he's got a comp. Well, no, because he sucks kneecaps.
So what do you want? To be insulted? You want to be roasted by Josh?
Yeah, he needs to banter with me and then apologize. Okay. It's a really tricky game how you have to woo me.
Okay. All right. Well, Nick Majorano, great job on the podcast today.
You as well.
Do we have a hashtag today?
Oh, my. How about suckiest kneecapper? That's the first thing that came to my head because we were just talking about him.
There you go. Hashtag suckiest kneecapper. All right. Nick, thank you so much. And we will be back. Our next episode will be The Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. And I believe that we have a guest. I don't know if it's a surprise or not. He hasn't said anything yet. So I'll just say that it is a surprise guest. It's not Nick Majorana.
It's not me.
And so be sure to check that out, as well as all of our coverage on post-show recaps, where The Walking Dead Season 8 kicks off. Jessica, Lisa, and I will have the latest recap. Josh Wiggler and I are continuing to rewatch all of Game of Thrones. Josh Wiggler has Mr. Robot, everything going on post-show recaps, postshowrecaps.com/iTunes to subscribe there. And Nick, pleasure seeing you. All the best, buddy.
Pleasure. Thank you.